It's time for the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. Call with your questions right now to 352-728-1410. That's 352-728-1410.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Heartbeat Radio for Women and the Men Who Love Us. I'm Michelle Wargo, and my guest host today is Issa Moss. She is a freelance writer, a native New Yorker, and an advocate for single moms everywhere. As a single parent life coach, Issa offers support to newly single parents, as well as veteran single parents who may have hit a bump in their roads. Issa began blogging about her journey as a single mom in 2007 and must be doing something right because her blog, Single Mama NYC, was named Best Single Mommy Blog of 2009 by TheBump.com. A passion for writing began early for Issa, and she was presented her first award for a piece of her writing at only 7 years old by then New York City Mayor Edward Koch, as a citywide winner of a poetry contest. Issa is a published essayist, writer of children's books for her son, a New York Daily News featured blogger, a founder of Your Single Parenting, a resource website inclusive of all single parents. Issa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about this journey. You know, I just kind of summed it up real quickly, but I want to hear from you. Take us on the journey of why you started blogging in the first place.
Well, my experience is a unique one. I kind of straddle the boundary between being a conventional single mother and being a choice single mom. I was engaged to be married, and that relationship was falling apart right around the time I was 2.5 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion that I was either going to enter into this marriage for the sake of my child, or I was going to screw up as much bravery and courage as I possibly could and be a choice single mom. And I had been told for 13 years that I couldn't have children, so terminating the pregnancy was just not an option for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 2.5 months pregnant, I became a single pregnant woman and went through a myriad of reactions to my situation, and had always been a writer and decided, you know, maybe I should chronicle my experience just initially for therapy reasons for myself.
Yeah, was it
so
more
that I could process things for myself?
Was it kind of like journaling just to get it out?
It was. Okay. It was initially. The thing is that when I went online at the time, there was a real lack of single mom blogging presence. There were two or three real heavy hitters at the time, Rachel Sarah, who wrote Single Mom Seeking. There was a woman named Kimberly Raston who had a website as well, Parenting Without a License, but that's since been taken down. And that was it. There were maybe two or three other single mom blogs, and I thought, wow, this is a space that isn't being occupied, and it's a space that needs to be occupied. There is a room for a community that could be built here in cyberspace for single parents. And, you know, I just took my journaling and kind of jumped off of there into a coaching experience because
okay.
So many people were writing me saying, hey, wow, you processed that so well, and it helped me to process. Thank you for that. And I thought, well, maybe I have something here. So that's how that journey started.
Was that for, now, which was your first blog? Was it
SingleMamaNYC.com okay. is my blog. It's a dated in the life of a single mom in New York City. And it's kind of where I download every thought, emotion, experience that I'm having, process that, help others process what they may be going through. YourSingleParenting.com is a website that I started. It's not really a blog, actually. It's almost like the Drudge Report of the single parenting
oh, okay.
in which I call the internet of all the pertinent articles and information and resources that may be out there for single parents, and I link them on that one site. So if you go to that site, you know, today there may be one article or there may be 10 articles depending on how much single moms, single parents were in the news for that day. And it helps parents mm-hmm. to get information and resources that might be of interest to them.
Wow, so running these two sites has to be a full-time job for you.
That, in addition to the freelance articles that I write for various different publications, and raising my three-year-old pretty much leaves me no time to do anything else, but maybe sleep, maybe every now and then. And brush my teeth. I do brush my teeth.
That's good. Do you floss?
I do, actually, just not as often as maybe I should.
I know. That's one thing that, you know, the dentists always tell you every time you go in. They're like, keep flossing. And you're like, yeah. I wasn't flossing to begin with, but okay.
Thanks for that, yeah.
But that's something that we really want to stress, is taking care of yourself as
absolutely.
A single parent.
Absolutely. And one of the undercurrents for all of my work, whether it be on my website or whether it be through my coaching, is how to enjoy being a single parent. What are the things that you could do for yourself, whether they be mental mantras that you repeat to yourself, or activities that you do with your children or your friends, or whatever it is that you might do to give yourself license to enjoy your role as a single parent. For many people, they don't want to stay single parents forever, and that's fine. But mm-hmm. while they're single parents, it's helpful to be fully present and to do things that give you the full breath of enjoyment, because, you know, single parenting is hard. Parenting is hard in general, but mm-hmm. single parenting is very difficult. And if we don't focus on trying to enjoy this journey while we're in it, then we rob ourselves of really beautiful moments that we could be sharing with our families, sharing with our friends, and just having for ourselves.
Well, do you have any examples or maybe tips for things that we can watch out for and realize, okay, take this moment and fully enjoy it?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I realized as a single mom raising an infant and a toddler is how quickly the time flies, especially when you're inundated with all these challenges and very little amount of time to work it all out. I told myself that being fully present, you know, when he was an infant and he had GERD and it was driving me crazy and they told me, oh, he'd outgrow it, my thought was, oh, I can't wait till he outgrows it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not enjoying him as this luscious, delicious, chubby little infant, and waiting with bated breath for him to be 7 months old was silly. Mm-hmm. You know, there were all these other moments that were beautiful about him being 2, 3, 4 months old that I would have wasted had I not told myself, you know what, that will come. Be here now. Be present for this. And that kind of takes the edge off of things, mm-hmm. I find, a lot. Also, just doing little things for yourself. They could be small things like, you know, putting the kid to bed 2 or 3 days in a row a little early and getting into the bath with a really naughty, trashy, crappy novel, with a glass of wine and some chocolate, you know. Just a little thing for yourself that says, I matter, mm-hmm. and I'm going to nurture myself right now.
Wow. Where does that come from for you? Have you always been an optimistic person? Has this
Absolutely
always been
not.
A philosophy?
It comes from being extremely negative, being extremely pessimistic, always seeing the glass half empty, and realizing that that wasn't serving me at all. And needing to find a place in which not only was I filling myself, but that I was able to reflect a way of life that I would want my child to grow into. And it's been hard work. You know, sometimes I fail miserably, and I whine, and I kvetch, and, you know, my followers on Twitter are, you know, so supportive, because I'll just, you know, bleed publicly, and they're like, hey, you know, we hear you, we're in the same spot. But for the most part, I try to process things in a way in which I'm uplifting myself, mm-hmm. and the people who look to me for any sort of support or advice or anything at all.
Well, with your online community, do you also have, like, a close-knit group of friends that are not part of your online community?
Oh, well, in my real life, I have a ton of friends who absolutely have nothing to do with me as a single mom. They just knew me prior to having my son.
Okay.
But online, you know, my community is surprisingly varied. I have a solid core of single moms who I interact with online, who may have initially started to follow me because I was a single mom, but then we found we had so many other things in common that we became friends regardless of being single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a ton of moms who are married who say to me, yeah, hey, guess what? My husband does nothing, and I feel like a single mom, so I'm right there with you. And, you know, I can understand that. You know, maybe they have the benefit of having another source of income in their homes. But they are doing a lot by themselves, and they don't get a moment to nurture the woman in the mom. And so that can be a challenge, and they look to those of us who are single moms who do have to figure out a way to do it all to kind of gain a sense of how to better balance their own roles in their lives.
Well, and it sounds like you're really empowering women to lean on themselves.
That's my goal. that is always my goal, to uplift and to empower the single mom and, by extension, her children, her family.
That's what we're all about here at Heartbeat Radio.
Absolutely.
Empower yourselves and empower others.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about singlemamanyc.com. What can we find there today?
You know, single. Well, today you're going to find my exciting mention about being here at the Mom Hour. But past, if you go through my blog, past posts are normally about just, you know, a day in the life of a single mom, or the things that I find challenging, the things that I find uplifting, ways in which I am challenging myself to grow, mm-hmm. ways in which I am challenging myself to look at outmoded and unuseful behaviors or thought patterns that I could start trying to change. It's huge for me to grow publicly, mm-hmm. Because I am a very private person, but I think it's really, really interesting that my journey has provided a source of comfort and feedback for single moms who, you know, there are single moms that are from the middle of nowhere, for whom single parents in general are hard to find in mm-hmm. their community. They may be in a small town, and, you know, most of the moms in that town are married, and they just don't have anybody to commiserate with. They don't have anybody that gets them. Mm-hmm. And they come on my site, and they'll read my posts. And I have been moved to tears in my eyes by some of these emails that I get from these women. You know, thank you so much for saying what you just said. You know, I've been going through the same thing, and, you know, I didn't know how to process it, but the way you processed it helped me. Or thank you so much for just being there. It's a website that I know that when I'm feeling like I'm struggling in my role as a single mom, I go to your website, and you get it. You say, yeah, you know, this might be hard, but there is no other option. Mm-hmm. The only option is to be here now fully in this space, to love your children and yourself so much that you give yourself license to be good to yourself.
Wow.
And that's not always easy to do, mm-hmm. you know. It really isn't. But I'm grateful that my, you know, verbal upchucking of everything that I've ever gone through was able to be translated into a website, a space that other moms who might not have had a place to go to find someone like them mm-hmm. or someone that's going through something similar can find. You know, I often joke that on Twitter I have all these different kinds of single moms that we follow each other. And, you know, some of these could be right-wing conservative Republicans, and some can be uber-liberal, you know, left-wing moms, and everything in between. And yet we find a place to be respectful of one another because we know that we're all in this kind of being a single mom and how important that role is to us, journey mm-hmm. together, you know.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, if you're just tuning in, this is Heartbeat Radio for Women and the Men Who Love Us. I'm Michelle Wargo. This is the Mom Hour, and our guest host today is Issa Moss. She has a blog called SingleMamaNYC.com. Check it out, and we will be back after these quick messages.
Do you sometimes think your kids are from another planet? I'm Dr. Vicki Panaccione, here to tell you, they are. Listen every Thursday at 1:30. On Kids Are From Krypton, Parents Are From Pluto. Each week, you will discover new ways to experience joy and fulfillment along the bumpy, unpredictable road of parenthood. Visit my website, BetterParentingInstitute.com, and tune in every Thursday at 1:30. In the meantime, enjoy your kids.
Send in your questions to Michelle at HeartbeatRadioUSA.com.
There are 50 million kids in youth sports today, and 75% of them will quit between the ages of 13 and 15 because it just isn't fun anymore. Where does the fun go? Athletes are exposed to lots of coaching, but who's coaching the parents and the coaches? My name is David Benzel, and as a parent, I know that sometimes I took the fun out of sports for my kids. If you'd like to learn how to create the healthiest and most positive sports family environment so your children can achieve their goals and reach their dreams, join me every Monday at 1:30 p.m. as we grow champions for life on Heartbeat Radio for Women. You'll learn how to improve your child's performance and become their hero all at the same time. We'll fill your spirit with hope and your parenting toolbox with strategies as we uncover some of the most important secrets of being a sport parent or coach in today's world. For more information and an autographed copy of my book, From Chump to Champ, visit www.growingchampionsforlife.com.
Girls to Women is about developing strong, confident young women who make good life choices. My name is Claudia Verga, founder of Girls to Women. Through my own experience and from watching others, the common denominator for poor decision making is low self-esteem. On Girls to Women, we talk to local peer mentors that are being true role models in their own community. Join us for Girls to Women every Thursday at 4:30 here on Heartbeat Radio for Women.
We're back to the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. Call with your questions right now to 352-728-1410. That's 352-728-1410.
Welcome back to the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. I'm Michelle Wargo, and my guest host today is Issa Moss of SingleMamaNYC.com. And Issa, we actually have a guest that you have brought to the program.
Hi, yes. I would love to introduce Sandy Trovato. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi,
wonderful.
How are you?
Hi, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, no problem. Happy to.
For all those listening, I'd like to introduce Sandy. Sandy, early into her parenting, she told her husband, "Nothing can happen to you because I'm not cut out to be a single parent." Unfortunately, fate then played a huge, horrible trick on her, and in October of 2007, her husband of 7 years succumbed to a four-month battle with pancreatic cancer, leaving her to raise her then one-and-a-half-year-old daughter and three-year-old son alone. She started her blog, then titled A Widow for 1 Year, a month after her husband died, as a way of dealing with her grief and chronicling her day-to-day battles as a single parent. Now she tends to write less about grief and more about the good books and horrible television she watches, and has changed her blog to And I Ask Myself, How Did I Get Here? That can be found at stduffy.blogspot.com. Hi, Sandy, and welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So I would love for you to share a little bit about how I know this probably won't be easy because it was a longer process than this, but how you went from being in grief and being shocked at being a single parent to slowly getting to a place where you could embrace your role as a single parent and finding ways in which you can enjoy that process.
Sure. I can actually almost pinpoint when I did that. And unfortunately, right after my husband passed away, I actually found that I had a precancerous cyst on my pancreas. Mm. So I had to have surgery about 8 months after he died that basically saved my life. And it was soon after that, my husband died in October 2007, so I'd say the summer of 2008, that I realized that I am going to live, and I have to live, and I have to take care of my children, but I had to take care of myself. And I called all my friends, and I assigned everybody a month that they were in charge of me. I planned on going out without my children, whether it was an overnight or an all-day venture, one day a month, child-free, to take over the interests I had before I had children, theater or art museums or music, you know, whatever it was. I was going to take that time once a month and be away from my children and be a grown adult woman with her own interests. And my friend jumped on board. So that's really how I started to take over my life again.
That was really inspired thinking. What helped you to come to that decision?
I don't know. I think the surgery had a lot to do with it. It was a long recovery after the surgery, and then I finally started feeling better. And I was so engrossed in my grief and so engrossed in my children. I just had wrapped myself around them and into them to deal with what had happened, that I finally realized I had no idea who or what I was anymore. And I had a lot of friends, you know, all on the perimeter waiting to step in, and they really were there for me during everything, and I decided that they'd seen enough of the grieving sad, Sandy, and we all needed to go out and have some fun again. And it just kind of was a process that took place. I had a lot of support from family for doing this, too. My mother's been a huge support to me since the death of my husband, and always before that, too. And she really pushed me to do this, and my brothers pushed me to do it, too. My youngest brother was one of the first people to take me out for a day, and he took me to a college football game for a day. Mm. So he was, like, the first one on board, ready to go.
That's wonderful. You know, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I find it very difficult to even think about asking for help because I'm always so in the moment and so go, 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 and trying to take it all on my own, you know, terms. I have tons of friends who tell me off all the time because they say, you know, we're here. We're waiting to be there for you, and you don't reach out to us enough, and that's not okay. You need to stop that. Do you ever find that your friends and family were in a place where they wanted to jump in, but because you couldn't reach out for whatever reasons, they just kind of waited on the sidelines?
Absolutely. I have always been very stubborn and independent, and it is a very difficult thing for me to ask for help. And it's actually a more recent friend I made since the death of my husband. We worked together, and one night my car wasn't working right, so my brother had an extra car. I was going to borrow a car from him, and I was out with this friend, and I asked if she minded following me back to my house, you know, in my car while I picked up my brother's car. And she looked at me like I was crazy, and she's like, of course I don't mind. That's what friends do for each other, Sandy. This is friendship. And that really, that's the first time I think I really heard it, when she just, like, got in my face and said it to me, and said it very casually. And I thought, you know, I do need to ask for help more, because people don't mind if I ask for help. And it's still hard for me, but I've gotten much better about it. But I think we as women, and we as moms, and we as single moms have a really tough time. We've got this, you know, I can do it all myself attitude, and I think we burn ourselves out.
Absolutely. What are the ways in which you nurture yourself in between those one evening a month getaways?
Oh, well, those one evening a month getaways now are also, I also throw in, every Friday night, I go out to a dance class with a girlfriend of mine, and then we go out for martinis afterwards. So I usually go out about once a week now without the guilt. My children are fine. They are fine.
It's never them that aren't fine. It's always us.
It's us. It's absolutely us. And we actually now we have a male babysitter. I call him our Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids just lay like him more than me. So leaving them with him on a Friday night isn't really an issue at all. It's kind of become a tradition now for a college girlfriend of mine and me to go to Las Vegas once a year in the summer. We go for a few days, and the kids stay with my mother, and that's a big treat. They could care less that I'm gone.
Right.
So I do a lot more for myself now because the guilt is gone, too. And I don't think that's just with single parents. I think when we become mothers, I see it with women who have a partner or a husband or a significant other, we lose ourselves in our children.
Yes.
And we have to stop doing that. We're still women. We're still adults. We had all these interests before our children. We still have them. We can't, you know, run our lives by going to see Disney on Ice or, you know, Dora the Explorer.
Right.
We need to do things for ourselves. And I think the more I balance that and do that, I become, I think, a better parent. I've lost the guilt of leaving my children once in a while.
Absolutely. Do you find that blogging your experience was a great help to you? Or
it was an enormous help to me. I got a lot of support because of the blog, but it wasn't just the outside support. It was just getting it out. I am a writer at heart, so
yeah.
Writing it down really, really helped. And when I look back on when I started my blog to where I am now, you wouldn't even realize I'm the same person.
Isn't that amazing when you go back and read old posts and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's where I was. I was in a bad place.
And
it's amazing.
How do you feel about your children reading your blog one day? I know that's a question that I get asked often.
I don't have a problem with it. I think especially when I first started the blog, I think it will be, when they're older, enormously helpful to my children to see how much I thought of their father as a husband, as a father, as a partner, and as a human being, and what other people thought of him as a friend, as a brother, as a son. So I think it's a wonderful legacy for my children. I don't write that much about them. That would be embarrassing. I write about my triumphs and failures as a mom to them, but I've really kind of stayed away from embarrassing stories about them. So I don't think they'd be upset. I think they'll enjoy reading about that.
That's wonderful.
I hope. I know that's a big issue.
Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, and I never use it. I am, like, signed up for Twitter, and I think I've used it, like, twice. I really need to get going with my
social media. Well, I'll just let you know, it's a wonderful place to meet people that can, you know, are like-minded, that could be of support, and who you can find just amazing new talents and things that you have in common, and it's a wonderful way to expand your horizons. So I would suggest that you get on Twitter and connect with the tons of other single moms out there who are doing amazing things and supporting one another.
And you should link it back to your blog as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I know. I have to link all, and I'm on Facebook too, and I have to start linking everything to my blog. I've really been a little lax the past couple of months, and I don't know why. I just have been, and that's kind of my New Year's resolution, is to get back into it. And
well, good. This is a great start to things.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
Sandy,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We will be back after these quick messages, and we'll be taking calls. The number to call is 352-728-1410. Once again,
do you want to save hundreds of dollars every month on your grocery bill? Well, I'm Tanya, the Coupon Queenie, and I will be here talking to you live every Monday at 3:30 right here on Heartbeat Radio for Women. I will teach you how to reduce your grocery bill in half, how the stores pay you to shop. You will not believe how much you can get for free or almost free just with your coupons. Your coverage will be overflowing. Make sure to tune in and get the deal of the week and visit my website, couponqueenie.com. That's every Monday at 3:30 right here on Heartbeat Radio for Women.
Every Friday morning at 9:30, Zeke Carter, owner of Simply Desserts in Tavares, Florida, transforms the Heartbeat Radio studio into her personal kitchen. Each week, Z cooks up one of her favorite recipes and shares it with you, the Heartbeat Radio listener. From dinners to snacks to desserts, Z treats you to recipes your whole family will love. Tune in for Cooking in the Kitchen with Z every Friday at 9:30 Eastern, only on Heartbeat Radio. Jerry Blair is a family law attorney you can trust. She helps resolve domestic disputes in the courtroom and helps answer your law questions each week on Heartbeat Radio. Listen live on Tuesdays at 10:45 Eastern and call in with your questions to 352-728-1410. You can also email your questions to be answered on an upcoming show to mary@heartbeatradiousa.com.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell. And then he emailed me to my home account. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by 7 different technologies. It's exhausting.
Dating shouldn't be this stressful. It should be a fun experience. Paige Parker, author of Dating Without Drama, wants to share the secrets of dating and relationships with you. Listen to Dating Without Drama on Heartbeat Radio this Wednesday at 4:30. Each show, Paige will take your calls and teach you how to understand men, yourself, and your relationships. Check out datingwithoutdrama.com, where you will find dating advice, forums, blogs, and more. Dating Without Drama is an interactive radio show where we want you to share your experiences and ask your questions. Dating Without Drama with Paige Parker is live this Wednesday at 4:30 Eastern. Call in and ask advice or email your questions to michelle@heartbeatradiousa.com.
We're back to the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. Call with your questions right now to 352-728-1410. That's 352-728-1410.
That's right. Welcome back to the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. I'm Michelle Wargo, and our guest host today is Issa Moss of SingleMamaNYC.com. Issa, how you doing?
Hi there.
So what did you think about our last guest?
Well, you know, I think that most single moms tend to have an enormous amount of bravery and courage, but Sandy was just, I mean, when you lose a spouse to death, there's nothing that could be more painful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing that as well as trying to be the best single parent you can be, the amount of courage and resilience and strength that entails mm-hmm. is just mind-boggling. So, you know, I'm so glad that she was able to join us, and I'm looking forward to her, you know, getting a second win for her blog and to be able to continue to share her journey, because there are a lot of single moms out there that are single moms because they're widows, and
mm-hmm.
that specific voice is one that I can't necessarily address, but there are other single moms out there who are single moms because they're widows, and that's a community that's there for people who may not have someone in real life to connect with. So I'm so glad that she joined us, and I'm so glad that she's a resource out there and that hopefully she'll continue to do that.
And do you have the web address for her site again?
It is stduffy.blogspot.com. St. Duffy at blogspot.blogspot.com.
Okay, and you could probably also Google "And I Ask Myself, How Did I Get Here?"
And I Ask Myself, How Did I Get Here? Isn't that a great title?
I'm asking myself, how did I get here right now?
So I'm glad that she was able to share that perspective. I don't get very many single moms on my site that have been widowed.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened. And I don't know that that's because I'm not a widow. I just think that they may be looking to share experiences with other single moms that were widowed. And so that'll be great that they could find her.
How did you and Sandy hook up?
She wrote for Single Minded Women,
okay.
Which is a great website that that has writing from all sorts of single women, not just moms, but they do feature single moms as well. And great articles that you can find there for all single women, whether it be dating or health or whatever it may be. And she contributed to that site.
Oh, wow. That's neat. And then you've got your singleparenting.com that you contribute to as well.
That's it. Well, I'm actually the editor of YourSingleParenting.com, so my role is to call the internet for all of these articles that might be of interest to single parents and get them on that website.
So that gives you access to lots of people.
Yes, yes it does. Yes, it does. It does.
Now, briefly, we were talking before Sandy joined us, you know, about SingleMamaNYC.com and about the struggles that you personally have had with trying to become optimistic instead of pessimistic.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the most part, people are 50% nature and 50% nurture, and my nature is one of being a bit of a pessimist,
mm-hmm.
and I was nurtured by uber pessimists. So there you have it. I never, ever saw the glass as half full. 8.5 years ago, I started a journey into studying Buddhism that opened my mind to other perspectives and other ways of thinking. Actually, it was 9 years ago that I started my study, and then 8.5 years ago I converted. And so Buddhism has been able to give me a place in which optimism, positivity, training one's thoughts to serve themselves better
mm-hmm.
has begun to be a thing that I can do for myself and to help others train themselves to do. You know, sometimes we can't help our thoughts. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we can't help our feelings. It's not that we think these thoughts and we feel these feelings that make things bad or not bad. It's that we continue to harp on them or that we continue to carry them from one situation to the next. And taking a moment to look at what you're thinking or see what it is that you're feeling and kind of really delve into why that is
mm-hmm.
Really allows a person to be free from kind of these repetitive patterns of negative self-talk. I was the queen of negative self-talk. I'm kind of demoted now to the princess of negative self-talk. I still do it.
I do it way too often, more often than I'd like. Mm-hmm. But I'm also able to catch myself and to say, hey, you know, look what you're doing. Look at what you're looking at. What you pay attention to grows. And so are you paying attention to what you don't want in your
mm-hmm.
life? Or are you paying attention to what you'd like to grow? And most of the time I'm able to do that. Sometimes I fail miserably, and luckily for me, I have some really great people in my community, both on Twitter and in my on my websites and in real life, that are amazing and will say, hey, what are you saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
how dare you do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. You're beating yourself up for what? Stop that.
Well, and that's something I think as women we struggle with on a daily basis more so than men, because we constantly judge others and judge ourselves harsher than, you know, I've had people say, you know, why are you picking on my friend Michelle? And then when you think of it that way,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't let somebody pick on your friend the way that you're picking on yourself.
Exactly.
So it really puts you in your place. Like, whoa.
And I think it unfortunately, once you become a mom, all of that becomes even worse. You judge yourself as a mother. You judge other mothers. I mean, mothers have to be some of the most judgmental people on the face of the planet. And I think that the reason for that is that we're all terrified all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That whether we're making the right decisions, are we, you know, doing what's best for our children? Is one slip-up going to screw our kids up for the rest of their lives?
Yeah. Was that one scolding the one that's going to put
right.
them over the edge?
Right. Is this the conversation that he's going to regurgitate in therapy 25 years from now?
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, I think that unfortunately fear brings out the worst in us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that is being judgmental. If we can judge others unfavorably, then we feel better about our decisions.
That's true.
And it doesn't have to be that way. There is a space between where we can have constructive criticism of
mm-hmm.
ourselves as parents and maybe other parenting techniques, but have a space there within which people from disparate walks of life and perspectives and ideologies can come and really focus on what's similar
mm-hmm.
and not what's dissimilar. I mean, the dissimilar things are pretty obvious, but the ways in which we can build each other up, build up our children, build up our communities as moms, single moms, those are the ways in which 9 times out of 10 make us feel so much better at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enough that makes us feel doubtful, worried, scared. We don't need to do it to each other, you know? So I think it's great that, you know, more and more we find these online communities, whether it be websites or Twitters or message boards or whatever it may be, that we find the space in which people are making a conscious decision not to tear each other down,
mm-hmm.
to celebrate each other's perspectives and to find the good in all of it and to communicate with one another and say, listen, you know, I've had a really crappy day and I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I need help to get through this because I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if I do, it's probably a train coming my way. So somebody help me out here. And I think there's worth in that, you know. There's worth in reaching out to other people and saying, you don't do it the way I do it. At all.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you're doing, because maybe I'm missing something here.
Well, and that's the hardest thing, too, is to try and celebrate how we are all similar and to lift each other up, because we're so often fed that we need to tear each other down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As women, as moms, you know, I just think, unfortunately, we have a culture of competition in the society.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always about who's the better mom, who's the best mom. You know,
well, and then there's also the, you know, my kid can do this, can your kid do this?
Absolutely. So think of that in the momosphere and then break it down to the single mom who is doing a million things but has just as much pressure to be a great mom and raise great children. That can seem so daunting sometimes that
mm-hmm.
you either feel crushed by even trying to make it all work or you just constantly feel like you're swimming upstream.
Well, how do you do it? How do you not succumb to the overwhelming pressures that you have?
You do sometimes. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's completely overwhelming, and you shut down, and you shut everybody out, and you say, I need this next day or 12 to just focus on me and repair myself and figure out which of these pressures are the most important to indulge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the better you become, the more equipped you become at balancing your life, the easier it becomes to kind of let the pressures that seem
really, really nonsensical mm-hmm. at this point in your life to just kind of fall by the wayside. I had this really insane pressure when I got pregnant and after I had my child to learn how to cook well. I'm an awful, awful cook. I've always been an awful cook. I didn't do very much cooking before I became a mom. I didn't have to. Mm-hmm. I was a single mom, made a great salary, went out to eat all the time. I mean, I was a single woman, made a great salary, went out to eat all the time.
Right.
I never cooked, didn't bother. Then I became a mom, and I thought, well, this won't do. So it was this insane pressure to just be really, really good at cooking. And now every day for dinner, I would give myself a headache. What am I going to make? Mm-hmm. And this and that. And finally, I thought to myself, seriously, Issa? Are you really making yourself this insane? I mean, I would scour recipes and find people online on Twitter that cater to feeding picky eaters. And it was
a whole day of fret and worry.
It just made me crazy. So now what do? I figure out, okay, a protein, a whole grain, a veggie. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what, you know, listen, does he have a protein, a whole grain, and a veggie on his plate? Good. I've conquered my world for the day. I don't need to make a Le Cirque dinner for my kid.
Right.
You know, I just need to make sure that he's got the nutrition that he needs and just keep it moving.
Well, and that's what it comes down to, really.
Absolutely. But, you know, unfortunately, we see all these women who, you know, cook and clean and have
superhuman
wonderful relationships. And it's, first of all, can I just say that most of that is a lie?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, when they're in their bathrooms nursing their bottle of Pinot Grigio, they realize that it's just all a big fat farce. So when you see somebody who has it all together and you feel less than in comparison to her, please don't do that. Don't do that. Because odds are she's a hot mess and you don't even know it. You don't even know it.
That's so true.
You just have to do the best that you can. And as a single mom, what does that boil down to? You have to earn a living. You have to raise your children well mm-hmm. to the best extent that you possibly can. And you have to nurture yourself.
And would you say that living in the moment is the best way to go for that? Because then you're not so worried about the next moment or thinking about the past.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a great big advocate of planning. You must plan for certain things. Absolutely. But, you know, plans have a funny way of going awry.
Mm-hmm.
And life isn't meant to constantly be lived in the past or in the future. You're here now. And I'm sure that mothers of grown children can tell you that those 21 years pass by in the blink of an eye. Don't waste it on fretting. Don't waste it on looking at all of the ways in which you're deficient. Just enjoy your child and enjoy that delicious feeling of being that child's mama
mm-hmm.
and do the best that you can with every single day. And if there's a day where you look back and you said, you know what, that wasn't my best, I could do better,
mm-hmm.
good. Teachable moment for you. Tomorrow, you can try a little harder if you have the energy. And if you don't, it's okay. This is a day-by-day journey. It doesn't accrue. You know, if you messed up yesterday, you're not minus points tomorrow. You're all that your child will look at for love and comfort and stability and nurturing. And you have to make sure that you've done that for yourself before you can give your kid that.
Wow, that is a powerful message. Well, Issa, we have to stop for another break, but we will be back and bring on your next guest after these messages.
Wonderful.
Hey, this is Scott Moore. Join me every Friday at 3, live from Hollywood.
But why would you do such a thing?
For an insider's look at showbiz.
He's looking at you, kid.
We'll check in on your favorite stars on and off the big screen.
I'm kind of a big deal.
And
people
talk about
know
the
me.
Latest the entertainment industry has to offer.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
That's every Friday at 3, only on Heartbeat Radio.
Do you want to save hundreds of dollars every month on your grocery bill? Well, I'm Tanya, the Coupon Queenie, and I will be here talking to you live every Monday at 3:30 right here on Heartbeat Radio for Women. I will teach you how to reduce your grocery bill in half, how to even have the stores pay you to shop. You will not believe how much you can get for free or almost free just with your coupons. Your cupboards will be overflowing. Make sure to tune in and get the deal of the week and visit my website, couponqueenie.com. That's every Monday at 3:30 right here on Heartbeat Radio for Women.
We're back to the Mom Hour on Heartbeat Radio for Women. Call with your questions right now to 352-728-1410. That's 352-728-1410.
We'll be taking calls again at the end of the show. Right now, we have a special guest joining us.
Hello. Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, everyone. I'd love for you to meet Pamela Metivier. Pam is a fellow single mom. She's also a serial entrepreneur, both requiring a lot of moments of insanity. After happily spending many long days and sleepless nights nurturing two startup companies and a consulting firm, Pam made the decision to take on another role, becoming a single mom at 40. She's embarked on this adventure not alone, but with the help of friends, family, and a devoted co-parent. And Pam has learned that conventional wisdom is great if your life is conventional. If it's not, and fewer people are living traditional lifestyles than ever before, making the best decisions, maintaining one's sanity, and having a blast as a single mom are all possible if you're willing to say, to hell with it. Dive in and just do it. Thanks so much for joining us, Pam.
Thank you for having me.
Pam, you know, I would love to talk to you here about, first of all, tell us a little bit about your journey as a single mom at 40.
Okay, well, I was one of those people who was 38 years old and trying to decide, which you really have to do by the time you're 38 a lot of times, is make a conscious decision whether or not you're going to be a mother or not. And so I made the decision that it was important to me that I would like to be a mother. So I embarked on a journey to have a child on my own as a 40th birthday present to myself. And I was fortunate enough to make that happen.
That's wonderful. Now, tell us about the initial challenges that you found being a single mom and how you met those challenges.
Okay, well, probably the biggest challenge was that I had my own consulting firm and worked from home a lot of the time. So for me, the biggest challenge was to set boundaries for my clients and family and friends, et cetera, and when they could call, when I would be available, those sorts of things. That was by far my biggest challenge.
And are there other challenges that you find now after having been a single mom for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, well, I have all the typical challenges of every mother, right? And then all the typical challenges of every single mother, which is, you know, you run out of formula in the middle of the night, so you have to wake up a baby and drive to the store to get some. Some of those things where you don't realize till you're in the moment that it's really hard to be flying solo. And so that was probably the biggest change that I had to make, was to learn to plan a little bit better.
And how old is your child now?
He's 4. He just turned 4.
Oh, he's 4. And are there ways today, as he is a much bigger kid now, 4 years old, are there ways in which you find that you need to nurture yourself, feed yourself, so that way you can fully enjoy this process of being a single mom?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing is that really it's no one else's job to nurture you. So you really, it's so important that you take that role on yourself. So you have to actually make it a goal that I'm going to get sleep, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to get some exercise, I'm going to find a diet that makes me feel good, and, you know, focus on keeping yourself healthy and in good spirits so that you can take on the day-to-day challenges.
You know, I remember being a child getting on the airplane, and they did the security video in which if the oxygen masks dropped, the parent was supposed to put it on first and then put it on the child. And I remember as a child thinking, oh, my God, that's horrible. Why would you do that to, you know, why would you take care of yourself before taking care of me? I'm your kid. And as a mom, finally getting it. Because I pass out, I can't put my oxygen mask on you, and therefore we're both going to be dead in the water.
And if you're a stressed out wreck part of the time, then you do struggle to enjoy the day-to-day things that you do with your child, right? So
absolutely.
Sometimes I just have to remind myself, it's okay to steal a nap with him in the middle of the day. You know, those sorts of things.
Do you think that you battle more mommy guilt as a single mom than you might have as a coupled mother?
Actually, from listening to my friends who are married, and both married and single, it seems to be a common mom thing. Mm-hmm. You just feel guilty. And I think when you tend to be a person who strives to achieve success in everything that you do, and you have a plan of attack, and you don't realize that when it comes to parenting, you can't always do things exactly the way you had planned.
Right.
And I think, you know, all moms experience that.
So learning to be flexible was definitely one of the things that has helped you.
Exactly. Learning that you don't have to be perfect.
And are there any hard and fast rules that you have for making sure that you don't get too burned out?
I should have some rules for making sure I don't get burned out. One thing that I do is, you know, I have really good friends around me, and that helps a lot. So we make sure each other don't get burned out. So, you know, I have a friend that I spend a few nights going over her place, and we cook together and you know, open up a nice bottle of wine, and the kids play in the playroom, and kind of just keep ourselves, like, focused on spending some time to chill out a little bit. And I think that helps a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any tidbits, little tips that you would share with someone who's feeling completely overwhelmed with their role as a single mom?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tip, which, you know, one of my biggest challenges in becoming a parent in general was I wasn't expecting all the unsolicited advice, so I'm really careful with giving advice. But I would say if you wanted a tip, it would be to try to carve out a little bit of time for yourself every day. If that means putting them to bed early, which my child is a night hawk, so it's not going to happen. So what I do is I wake up at 6 o'clock knowing he's not waking up till 7, and that's my time of day.
Right.
So that saved me, basically, having my time of day.
And is there anything about being, or I shouldn't say is there anything, because I'm sure there's several things, about being a single mom that bring you an immense amount of joy that you feel is particular to being a single mom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, particular to being a single mom, I think that the really cool thing about being a single mom is that you can really make any decision you want to and with regard to your child, right? And a lot of things we do together is we call them, quote, adventures, but sometimes that's just going to the store for ice cream. Right.
But
we just manufacture adventures and little missions that we go on together. And it's just the two of us. So I guess that would be one thing where a single person, it's just the two of us, and it's fun, and I try to make that, the fact that it's just the two of us, really fun.
And what are the things that you think, I once had somebody say to me, oh, you're a single mom. I'm so sorry to hear that, as if I were saying that I had just had cancer. What are the ways do you find that people do that to you as well? Oh,
it's really interesting because when I was first pregnant, everyone was trying to figure out my story.
Right.
They knew I wasn't married, and I was almost 40 years old. So okay, if you're almost 40 and you're pregnant, chances are pretty good that you tried to get pregnant, right?
Right.
Chances are, anyway. So they're all trying to figure out my story, like, you know, what's the story behind this? And so a lot of people had a lot of questions about that. And I was completely fine and open to answering any questions. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did get several, like, well, who on earth would do this on purpose kind of questions.
Issa, I wanted to let you guys know that we've got about 3 minutes left. So if there's final question you want to ask.
No, I wanted to wrap this up with saying, you know, I know that there are a lot of moms out there who are considering being single moms by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that voices like yours, Pam, are great to have out there to let people know that this is definitely a huge undertaking, but it's one that provides an immense amount of joy.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you for coming and sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, is there somewhere people can go to get in touch with Pam?
Pam doesn't have a website at the moment in regards to her experience as a single mom, but she is writing a book.
Oh.
So as soon as that book is out, I will be featuring it on my website, and I'll be sharing that with all of you.
That is fantastic. So we've got about a minute and a half left, so anything that you want to say to all of the listeners and all of your followers, please do so now.
I just wanted to thank, first of all, I wanted to thank Heartbeat Radio. I mean, this is great. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to share this time with you. I really appreciate the fact that the single moms were given a moment to just kind of focus on being a mom mm-hmm. and being a woman. Those things can be mutually exclusive, and we forget that sometimes.
Yes.
So thank you for giving us the opportunity to have this moment for us. And if you would love to connect with other single parents, other single moms, please find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Issa Moss, my name. Or you can find me at singlemamanyc.com. You can email me there. YourSingleParenting.com will give you lots of resources that you may need. If you're looking for community, reach out to me, and I could put you in touch with amazing people. So thank you for joining me.
Do you have a Facebook page as well?
I do, under my name, Issa Moss. First name, I-S-S-A. Last name, as in M as in Mary, A-S as in Sam.
Fantastic. Issa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.